I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, IU, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's great to be with you guys. It is Championship Sunday morning. We are starting 9:15 this morning, trying to get as much content out as we possibly can, especially when the Niners are not in, you know, the championship game. That hurts, definitely. A little bit of an ouch, but we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. That's the goal today. We're going to be diving in and out of Daniel Jeremiah's of NFL Networks. He did his first mock draft. There's some tidbits I want to take away from that. And I want to dive in really heavy on who he had the 49ers picking at 11, offensive line, which I do love that. Just finished a Brady. So once he mocked the guy that we had, I went through and did some, you know, all 22 work on him. That's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Go check that out. And so we're going to do that, deep dive into several first round possibilities for the 49ers. And then just some odds and ends on this draft, what the deepest positions are, what the shallowest positions are, compensation talk, and really wherever it is you guys want to go. And man, this is episode 1320 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I have to thank our executive producers, David Gill, 49ers George 365, and Corey Robbins. They make this happen. All gas, no brakes. Thank you, Sound Grips. I love that it's back. And David R. right there. All gas, no brakes. Let's go. Let's go. I love it. And Monkey Boy, I'm with you here. He says, Josh Allen was a Niner fan growing up. Today, I'm a Josh Allen fan. I don't like rooting for non-Niners teams, but F them Chiefs. I got to be honest with you. I am also 100% pulling for the Bills, but my cash went the other way. I did take a two-team teaser. I took the Commanders. I took the points, and I took the Chiefs. So we'll see how that goes. If you do bet, make sure you use my bookie. But, you know, I do the teaser bets because I want to bet with Vegas, not against them. So I get the Chiefs plus 5, and I get the Commanders. I think they're like plus 12.5. So that way I can still get paid and the Bills win. I make money and I maintain somewhat of my integrity, perhaps. Appreciate all the CCs. We'll get into some more questions about Championship Sunday for sure. But this is 100% Niners podcast, and that's what we're going to be spending the majority of our time on. What's up, Shane? Arizona Empire in the house. What's going on, Faithful? Love it. Love it. We don't even play today, but we still here, baby. And I love it. And man, again, I'm just going to echo. I said this at the end of the show yesterday with Larry Kruger. If you missed that one, this year sucked for 49ers. It really did. Richard, it's kind of depressing today. We have to watch other teams, four other teams that aren't our team play. That sucks. However, man, that stock has just been rising slow and steady since the end of the season. You know, the main things were you had to get rid of your two coordinators that were just god-awful, put you at the worst disadvantage, game in, game out. Brian Snyder, special teams, Nick Sorensen, defense. You did that. You moved on. And that's paramount. You got your number one choice at defensive coordinator. All gas, no brakes, Robert Saleh, baby. That is huge. And so all things are trending the correct way. Still have to finalize that special teams hire. I expect that to take place probably relatively soon, but with four, I think within the week, because you've got four teams, you might want to interview somebody that's on staff of one of the four teams that are left. But I think that you finalize that last spot probably this week. Mason Wright, thoughts on the report that Saleh wants our defense to be more exotic? And does that affect how you draft? Now, one, and this has been my critique all year, when you made the switch from Wilkes to Sorensen, you turned into the most vanilla, the most bland defense in all of the NFL and probably all of college football. Like, we ran the most simplistic vanilla defense, predictable, never disguised anything, once or twice a game maybe, but it was the most bland defense in the world. So yeah, anything is more exotic. Chocolate chip is exotic to vanilla, right? You know what I mean? Now, you ever take a kid to an ice cream store? Like, they get the most like off the wall crazy concoction known to man. That's what it is. So, like, yeah, I'm a vanilla guy. I'm just going to be honest, unless I get some cookie dough in there. But, like, yeah, chocolate chip is exotic if you compare it to vanilla. That's what it is. So, anything that you do, and you look at what the Jets did last year, you look at what Robert Saleh did with us 2019, the last time he was here, all of that is exotic compared to what Nick Sorensen did. That dude rolled out a paint-by-numbers, you know, second-grade coloring book. That's as exotic as it was. Now, does that affect what you draft? You know, that's one of the things I want to talk about is if you look at the 49ers roster and you say, what is the biggest need? I think defensive tackle and center. I think those are the two biggest needs position-wise just based on the roster. Jake Brendel is awful. I don't think anybody disagrees with that anymore. I know people used to get upset at me on that and whatever else, but I think the proof is in the pudding. I think we saw how terrible he is. Defensive tackle, we gave up the most rushing touchdowns allowed in 49ers history. That is there. Those two are your biggest needs, but that doesn't necessarily mirror what the draft has where you're picking at 11 and deep in the draft, because you can't address all your needs in that first round. You can only address one. So now if we look at the other way, well, what does this draft have? Okay, this was at the end of my notes. I'm already off tilt. That's okay, Mason. I appreciate you. This is a good question. Here, in my opinion, the four deepest positions in this draft, and I'm talking first-round talent, second-round talent, third-round, like day one, day two, day three. You can get guys. Defensive end, loaded. Whatever your poison. You want strong, buck-style run stuffers like Eric Armstead that can play outside, inside, versatility, whatever, loaded. You want speed edge guys. Abdul Carter, I think, is the number one player in this draft. You want Mike Green. He's going in the first round. You've got guys second, third round you can get off the edge that are speed guys. There are defensive ends, edge, aplenty. Running backs might be the best running back class of all time. Dane Brugler put out there, there are 30 running backs with draft-eligible grades. 30. Now, that doesn't mean 30 are going to get drafted. Safety and running back completely devalued by the NFL. And my guess is about 18 will get drafted, maybe 20. But doesn't mean there's not those guys that are available. And again, first round, there's awesome first-round running back. Second round, awesome second. Third round, now, I don't think the 49ers need to draft a running back. Why? Well, you already got four guys that are locked up and loaded. You got CMC, who's supposed to be back healthy. You've got Jordan Mason, who is leading the NFL in rushing through 6 weeks. Good gosh. He's a restricted free agent, but he's not allowed to negotiate with anybody else. You put a second round tender on, and you sure as hell should. Jordan Mason is unreal. And you've got Isaac Garendo. Those three locks, okay? Now, Kyle Juszczyk took a pay cut. He costs not very much this year at all. So I think he's bringing that's four guys. So yeah, if you want to bring somebody else in, sure. Elijah Mitchell, you know, what happens with that contract, we'll see. But I don't think that you need to spend a first, second, third round pick on running back. I don't think you ever have needed to. And with 30 graded running backs, I think you can get somebody as an undrafted free agent easy. Every single undrafted free agent is going to fight tooth and nail to come to the 49ers. And I know somebody's in there like, man, we can get Ashton Gentry. We can get Ashton Gentry. Come on. Come on. Yeah, he's that good. Don't do that. He's not going to get snaps over CMC. He shouldn't get snaps. He should get snaps over Jordan Mason. But Jordan Mason, like, you've got that. That's a waste of resources. Don't do that. Don't do that. Tight end is insane deep. You want receiving options. You want athletic move pieces. You want true tight end twos that can block. All throughout this draft, day one, day two, day three, and that's huge. And then interior defensive line is my fourth deepest position of diving through. There's a lot of them. Really, really are. Now, here's the good news. The 49ers have needs at edge. That matches this draft. Tight end, that matches this draft. Defensive line, interior defensive line, that matches this draft. Worst positions, in my opinion. I think this is a terrible quarterback class. Obviously, somebody will come out and shine. You're going to have probably 3 to 4 first-round picks at the quarterback position. Doesn't mean there's three to four first-round valuable quarterbacks. It's you got to have a quarterback to move forward. You got to take a chance. I'm huge on Cam Ward. Outside of that, major question marks for me. Major question marks for me. I think Shedeur Sanders has some elite traits, but all the off-the-field stuff, how are you going to deal with that? I don't want to play with that. And I think the 49ers should get a vet or a high-upside rookie. Wide receivers. Now, there's so many. I think I have 33 wide receivers on our draft book that we're working on. So wide receivers always going to be deep because teams are doing spread and there's four wide receivers on the field at all times. But compared to other classes, this is not the strong wide receiver class. Doesn't mean you shouldn't draft one. It's just, compared to past classes, I don't put this anywhere in the realm. Guards, weak class. Centers, weak class. Doesn't mean there's not going to be good ones, but it's not like there's not going to be. I don't think a center goes in round one or round two. Guards, Tyler Booker's pretty great. I think he's going to get push up draft boards out of Alabama, but not a lot of great guards. Linebackers, off-ball linebackers, not great. And even the ones that are going to the first and second round, Jihad Campbell, you know, the other Alabama cat, like those are like edge rushers who can play linebacker, that Micah Parsons role. Worst positions, quarterbacks, wide receiver, guard, centers, linebackers. Best, edge, running back, tight end, defensive line. That's my opinion. Now, does that affect how you draft? How do you dive into the economic supply of scarcity? All right, here we go. John Chapman finally using his master's work in economic theory. If a position is scarce and you don't have much of a resource, right? So center, 49ers have a drastic need at center. And it's a poor class. Does that push the centers up because there's so few of them? Usually it does. So do you take a center in the second or third round, even though probably those centers would be third or fourth round grades normally, but man, there's only a few of them. You got to get one. Does it push them up?
The big game is almost here, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. Prize Picks is also giving away a free pick for the big game, where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard. That's right, one passing yard to win half of the bet. If you're correct on the other stat projection, which you have to make at least one more, you can win real cash. Also, check out the promos tab or tell any of our super sweet Millie winners for the big game lineups. If you tell a lineup that goes 3 for 3, you can win your split of $1 million in promo funds. PrizePicks now also offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. So, sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And I've been playing PrizePicks for years. I just like how quick and easy it is. You pick two. If they happen, you win. It's very, very simple. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers, that's 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Opposite effect. There's a whole bunch of edge players. I think it's the deepest position in this draft. Do you need an edge at 11? Yeah, I think you should. I think that matches positional value. Defensive ends off the charts. It's up there. And I think it's the second most expensive position still. So you could save money on that first round, whatever. But man, there's, if you don't get an edge in the first, there's going to be edges in the second. There's going to be edges in the third. There's going to be edges in the fourth. So do you say, man, this is an 11th ranked player. He's worth the pick, but there's so many good edges later. Do we back off? Because we could take a lesser version of this in round three or four, but we can't take a lesser value at offensive tackle in round three or fourth. I'm making sense over here. Good question. Go Bills. I like the Go Bills. Yeah, DJ Malone. I really like the interior offensive line from Missouri at 11. And, you know, spoiler alert, that's who we're going to be talking about. So let's dive into Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft of NFL Network. I think he's by far has been. I've been following Daniel Jeremiah for a minute. He's been one of my favorite podcasters when it, you know, moved the sticks. I think I started before him as far as the podcast goes. But I remember reading his work and just liking everything that he does. I think he was a scout whenever we first started this show. But I've just been a big fan of him. I like Bucky Brooks, but I love Daniel Jeremiah. He put out his first mock draft. Here's just some tidbits about his mock draft and kind of how that went, which I thought it was interesting because right now it's a scramble. It doesn't matter who I say the Niners should take. Somebody's going to come out and say, well, they're not going to be there at 11, or they're not going to be there in the first round. They're not going to be there in the second round because it's just a mess right now. The Senior Bowl and the Combine will sort these players out. So here's how he did his mock draft. He had Abdul Carter going number one, which if I was the Titans, I would take Abdul Carter. You got to have a quarterback, but when my team is that bad, I'm not going to pass on a guarantee. And I think Abdul Carter is a guarantee. Will Campbell went number four. He was the first offensive tackle off the board. Mason Graham, five. And I love that these, you know, quote-unquote experts keep coming out. Having Mason Graham go in the top five. I still have people emailing me, we should trade down and take Mason Campbell in the 20s. Mason Graham in the 20s. That's not realistic. Mason Graham is not getting past eight. I don't even think he gets past five, but if you want Mason Graham, you got to trade up, period. Mikael Williams, who I keep screaming, this dude's a player. This dude should be in the mix. And people are like, nah, don't like him. He had him going nine. So the 49ers couldn't even get Mikael Williams at 11 in this draft. Dave Brugler had him going top 10. Like, guys that know, Mikael Williams is, Let me, I'm pretty sure I've read this before, but whenever I look at Mikael Williams, Georgia, 6'5", 265. Played, you know, relatively hurt almost all year. Effort, length, athleticism, played mostly hurt. His tools are top five pick worthy. Top five pick. Like, this dude should be in the conversation of who's edge one, Abdul Carter or Mikael Williams. Who should be the first edge player? Like, he should be in that conversation. He's that good. Exactly how you want an edge built. Powerful, difficult to move, makes very reliable run defender, may lack fluidity, looseness, and agility to constantly impact the edge as a pass rusher. But then you look at his stats, and it's like, all right, five sacks, six quarterback hits, not great this year. It's not. That's not great. That's not top 10 pick worthy as a true edge rusher. But then you look last year, like, okay, six sacks last year. So he's got back-to-back years of production in the SEC. You look at his grades across everything, and it's just like consistent, consistent, consistent. You're betting on the upside. I totally understand that. Now, I just told you this is a deep edge class. So why take a gamble on somebody that doesn't have elite production, doesn't have elite experience? Well, he's 20 years old. Might have the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft, regardless of position. Like, I'm telling you, this dude should be argued with Abdul Carter, but he didn't have the year that you hoped he would have had. Coming off a six-sack season in 2023 at 19, whenever he's drafted, he's going to be 20 years old. And his experience isn't bad. He's played 1,100 snaps. That puts him in the middle. He's got experience level 5, 1 out of 10. Versatility, 8. Dude, I really, really like Mikael Williams, guys. Back to Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Tyler Booker, he had the guard out of Alabama going 10, and he called him one of the safest picks of the draft. I had that label on him as well. And again, this is a bad guard class. So what does that do? If you just need a plug-and-play starter, protect your quarterback, Tyler Booker, man, 49ers, guess what? You have a need at left guard. Should you spend an 11 pick on Tyler Booker? No, I don't think you should. But I wouldn't be mad. I would not be mad. If we invested the offensive line, I would not be mad. You mad? You mad, bro? What's up, Mijo? How you doing? Glad to see you in the chat. So, and yeah, Wood. He said, get the likes up for the algorithm. If you got time, just go ahead and hit that plus button. Thumbs up or whatever. Wherever you're watching, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, hit the like button. It helps us out. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all. And then the 49ers are on the clock at 11, and he has Daniel Jeremiah, the 49ers taken, offensive tackle, Armand Embu. Now, I just fresh off, woke up early this morning, about 6 o'clock, dove into the All-22, and I absolutely loved it. And so I watched this year's game, Missouri versus Texas A&M. And let me just say this from the start. I absolutely hate both of these teams and both of these programs. Ruined the Big 12. It was great, but whatever. We are where we are. Now, it's pronounced Embu, okay? 6'3", 314. Not elite height, weight, length for a tackle position. A lot of teams will see him as a guard. The 49ers will not. Doesn't mean he couldn't play guard. You look at where he's played, Armand Embu. 2,000 plus snaps, all at right tackle. He had 29 starts at right tackle. Now, they did do a lot of tackle over, so you see some snaps at him at left tackle, really left tight end, because they move him from right tackle all the way on the other side of the left tackle over there. Gosh, footwork, unbelievable footwork. Here's my film breakdown of it. Here's our film. Shout out to Brian Carter 99. He helps. We've got so many people helping us with this in our draft research, which I just love. Run blocking finish, getting to the second level. Most sound offensive lineman in the draft. Control athleticism, very apparent. Is he a guard or a tackle? Tape says he's a tackle. His footwork says he's a tackle. Now, the Texas A&M tape, he's going against not one, not two, but three defensive ends that are going to be drafted. Nick Scorton, who I really, really like and is an option at 11. And Shamar Turner, who is also an option, probably not at 11. Sorry, Shamar Stewart. I misspoke there. So those, like, and he's handling his own. Pancaking. Shamar Stewart and pass pro, folding that dude up. He's 6'6", 290. Pancake at a 6'6", 290 guy off the edge? Yeah. Yum. I love it. And then you have Nick Skourtad, who's more of your 6'4", 280 traditional pass rusher, a little bit more size, but speed, spin moves, all that kind of stuff. Handles it with ease. Handled it easy. Easy. And I do think that Armand can play all five spots if necessary. You want to move him to center? I think there's a possibility. Yeah, his footwork is so good. There's two plays in that A&M Missouri tape. Go to the 49ersrush.com if you want to see it. It's already up on the site or our Patreon page. If you go to the 49ersrush.com, just go to player breakdowns. I have a whole 2025 NFL draft section. You can go through and watch all the old linemen. We've got Will Campbell. We've done Josh Simmons. We've done Kelvin Banks. Now we've done Armand Embu. Like, they're there. So go watch them and you compare them against each other. But, man, anchor is good because his flexibility and footwork are great. Wish he had more true run plays. Missouri's offense so weird. It's that, like, hyper, RPO, crazy, whatever. So you're not getting a lot of, like, seven-step true drops. But the one area you do not have to worry about, Armand Embu, is his kick slide. Mwah. It is absolutely beautiful. You ain't got to worry about footwork with him. So the one area where you'd be like, man, I wish we saw more of this, you ain't got to worry about it. That's his specialty. You're going to see him at the combine. And whenever they do that mirror O-line drill, everybody's going to go, holy cow, this is what it's supposed to look like. His feet are incredible. Incredible. Completely dominated Shamar Stewart. He's a technician. Love his hand placement in the run and pass game. Can scoop 2-eye. I saw this twice. He's a right tackle, okay? A 2-eye is a defensive tackle in the A-gap. And so he's right tackle. They're running zone left. But usually that's a 3 technique to his side, but it's a 2-eye. So you have to scoop not the 4, not the 3, but the 2. He did it twice with ease against an undersized athletic defensive tackle of Texas A&M. This dude can move. So it's not a highlight. It's not sexy. But coaches that run the zone scheme, they're going to see that play. They're going to splice it, and they're going to show it. The scouts are going to show it. Like, look, dude, this guy right here fits what we do, period. So if you run the zone scheme, Armand Embu is like plus 15 draft spots, maybe more for you. He's that damn good. So whenever you see Dade Brugler, whenever you see Daniel Jeremiah, who know these teams, who know these players, man, woo, I love it. I love it. What's up, Danson? We got Paul Hope, Bobo. What's up, Sean? Appreciate you, my friend. Super chat, much appreciated. Thank you for being you, Chapman. Keep it up. I don't know how to be anything else. I will say this, like, when people ask me, my wife, I'm trying to get my wife to start a podcast, right? People always ask me, like, hey, think about starting a podcast, doing something like you do, whatever else. Man, please reach out to me. I've made so many stupid mistakes. I would love to help. But the first thing I always say, I say two things. One, just got to start. Doesn't matter if it's, don't wait for perfect. Don't wait for graphics. Don't wait for whatever else. Just start. You'll figure out who you are, what your show is along the way. Number two, be yourself. Don't fake whatever, because what if your podcast catches on? Are you going to be fake forever? This is episode 1320. If you're not you, you're going to hate it. And people aren't going to catch it. I used to say the same thing to teachers, too. Like, look, man, you got to be who you are. For me, I'm chill, whatever. I want to be friendly. I want to build relationships. That's my thing. Might not be your thing. You might be a strict English teacher, whatever else. Don't go in there and try to act like you want to build these relationships. That's not your personality. You have to figure out who you are and be who you are. The strict teacher will reach kids that the nice, chill history teacher can't reach, and that's our job here. So you be you, because the 40 kids in this room, I wish I had 40 kids in the room, a lot of times it's more than that, but the 30 to 50 kids that are in this room, guess what? There's a personality that you're going to hit that I won't, and you bring up that kid. I bring up this kid. Same thing as a coach. Like, don't come out here trying to be a hard ass and cussing kids and whatever else. If that's not you, don't be you. Don't be that. If you're Nick Sorensen, and you have no personality and you have no energy, and if that's who you are, you be that. Now, that is never a defensive coordinator or a special teams coordinator, but you just be you, Pet Rock. There's somebody over here that is an introvert that needs to make a connection. You ain't going to be my coordinator, but just be you. Don't fake whoever you are. That's why whenever people complain, like, oh, we got to get Steve Wilks down on the sidelines. We need more energy. Man, that ain't Steve Wilks. You shouldn't have hired him. If that's what you wanted, you should have hired somebody like Robert Saleh. Thankfully, we have him back. But be you. Sean, appreciate you, man. And I don't even care what your job is. Man, don't. We're not here for long. Don't fake whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't it. Pleasure. Said, what's up? How's it going, John? It's going great. Haven't been alive since Road Rush in Vegas. The Super Bowl killed me, man. Didn't watch football this season. I feel so bad for it. Man, first off, thank you for trusting what could have been an amazing Super Bowl experience with us. That watch party we did in Vegas for the Super Bowl might have been my favorite experience ever. Like, we spent way too much money, but we approached it with the idea of this. And there's a reason why I'm talking about this. So just bear with me for a second if you don't mind. We go into that event saying, look, this could be the most memorable sports moment of all of these people's lives. And 500 plus people trusted us with that. We will not take this lightly. It's not about money. We don't do anything for money here. Sometimes I wish we did. But money's a factor for sure. But like, that's not what we're starting in with. We wanted to create our end, an opportunity for the greatest 49er sports moment history with collective fans and just an unbelievable big experience. And I think we did that. The problem was the 49ers did not, and they lost in the end. And so everybody, myself included, left just dejected. But so many people have reached out to me and emailed me and said, dude, that was the coolest event ever. And looking back on it, and you know, people brought their families, and like, it was so cool. It just hurts so much. It hurts so much that people left. And I remember trying to do shows all off season. I was like, man, this is my full-time job. I'm going to invest in it. This is what I'm going to do. And nobody watched. Not nobody. It was like one-fifth. My show right now, the amount of people that are watching across all of our whatever now is about 900 people. It's not a lot. It's a lot for me. Last year at this time, probably 100, 150 at this same moment. And so Pleasure TV, a lot of people are where you are right now, where you're finally out of the, God, I can't believe my team did all those things. Because last year broke our heart. The Brock Purdy injury in the NFC Championship broke our heart. This year, we all realized this is a rough year. It was bad from the start. It was just never got going. And now it's just like, man, we have positive energy. We have positive things happening all over the place. And so to be back, it feels that way. And, you know, I try my hardest not to measure how quality our shows are or our events are based off of numbers or money or viewers or downloads. But I'll tell you one thing. This show is better with you here. And the conversation is better with you here. And the experience are better with you here. And even this year, whenever we were throwing all the 49ers Rush events, man, we threw an event at Arizona when the Niners were eliminated and the Cardinals were eliminated, and it was just like, we still went down there. And it was weird. It was almost like a wake at certain points because the season sucked so bad and we had nothing to really play for. But the fans were just getting together, changes things. Ah, man, love you guys. Love you, man. Appreciate you, dude. Really, really do. Thank you. And I just think, we're here dancing right here. Agree, John. They finally made the necessary changes. Hopefully that's a good sign. Good signs moving forward. Yes. Look at Paul. Paul says, got me one ice cream before dinner. Paul's all the way across the pond, the big pond. So he's on a different time. You eat ice cream. It's 9:45 a.m. over here, man. Not that there's anything wrong with ice cream before breakfast. I will say that. Now, real quick, just want to remind everybody, we're not done, but we do have a Zoom hangout this Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or Pacific Time, I don't know if we're standard. Come join us. That has been posted over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Join us for a Zoom session, hour long. We talk, I get to hear from you, which I'm super excited about. And however you are going to bet, on this championship, Super Bowl, all the props, all those things, you know where you got to go. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs. And all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right, man, pleasure. Appreciate this one. He says, the greatest decision I ever made was to go to my first road rush in Vegas for the Super Bowl. But man, that was tough. On to the future. Man, thank you. Really appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much. Now, right here, Chip, Drew Dahlman and DJ Jones. Drew Dahlman's the center for the Falcons, and DJ Jones in free agency is the way to go. The draft best player available. This is exactly how the 49ers handle free agency. They plug all of the major holes, and then the goal is to go into the draft without having this one glaring need that you have to address. It's just what they do. Plug the holes and then draft for, you know, a year out so you can redshirt your guys. They always do that. But you kind of see what that is. I like this idea, but the problem is Drew Dahlman, I think he's going to get double digit. He's going to get like 10, 11 million, maybe even more as a center. There's just not, it's a bad center draft. Off interior offensive line are getting paid more and more. DJ Jones hasn't been good since he left here. He's been all right. And I do think that he would be a starter for us. He's way better than Jordan Elliott, way better than Evan Anderson for sure. But DJ Jones hasn't been DJ Jones since he left. And remember, it's not like he was playing on a bad defense. You could argue the Broncos defense might have been the best in the NFL this year. Like, it's up there. It's top five for sure. So understand you're getting DJ Jones back, which I would love. He commented about Robert Saleh joining the Niners and just how lucky for him. And it's just, I responded to him, hey, lucky for you too, which I would love to have him back. And I think you get him relatively cheap. Dahlman, though, that might be one of the highest priced free agents, even though I don't know if we could swing that kind of 10 to 14 million, which you look at this class, it's bad. Now, if Ryan Kelly, if we're going to pay that much, I'm going to offer it to Ryan Kelly first off, but that's what it is. Yatsik, my man, he says, hashtag CC Sundays are for football and Chapman. What's up, faithful? That's what's up. Bobo, Pete Carroll will take Sanders. This is interesting. You know, as soon as the Raiders signed Pete Carroll as their head coach, thought it was a good deal. I totally get it. I was like, man, Russell Wilson, he going to be that guy. They're going to bring over Russell. Raiders almost brought him over last year. But also, yeah, Shedeur Sanders is a possibility. Now, the Raiders are picking six. So who are the quarterback needy teams? Tennessee at one, for sure. Cleveland at two, for sure. Giants at three, for sure. Not the Patriots at four, not the Jacksonville Jaguars at five. Then you've got Raiders at six, Jets at seven. Do you think Carolina needs one? I think they're going to give Bryce Young another chance. Saints need one at nine, Chicago at 10 don't. So you've got one, two, three, four, five. Five out of the top 10 teams that pick ahead of us need quarterbacks. Obviously not five quarterbacks are going to go. Obviously not. I will say this about Shedeur Sanders. He met with three top 10 teams. I don't know who those teams are. At the East-West Shrine Bowl or Senior Bowl or wherever he was. I don't know where he was. But he met with three teams. Then after those meetings, said, I'm no longer going to work out and practice. That should tell you something. That should tell you something. That dude knows he's going in the top 10. And he probably should. His tape says he should. the amount of quarterback needed team says he should. I would not take him there. But yeah, I think he's going. If he lasts till six, he'll go at six. If he lasts till seven, he'll go at seven. If he lasts till nine, he'll go at nine. Shedeur Sanders is going to the top 10, and I hope that he does. And all 49ers fans should hope that he does, because that's going to push down a spot we need. We're not drafting a quarterback there. Hugo, what's the play with Feliciano? His contract expires. He just goes off into the night, probably. I'd like to bring him back, but, man, he's 33. The injuries, he even tweeted out, I think Father Time finally caught up to me. I like Feliciano, but I think Ben Bartsch should be the plan there if you want to go cheap. What's up, NY Niners? Logan, Chapman preaching, drafting 101. That's the idea. How do I say this? I need to do like my draft axiom show. Because, you know, this is like the we started with the draft. Our first episode was 2017. Draft. That was the first time I ever recorded one of these damn shows. Solomon Thomas. Yikes. What's up, Rusty? But yeah, like, I've got a lot of draft axioms and just things that, you know, I've stolen or adapted or whatever. But the draft has always been my baby. This was a problem whenever I was young. I remember when they first started showing the draft on ESPN, and then it switched over day two and day three over on ESPN2, right? I watched it all, and all my friends made fun of me, and I didn't care. I was just infatuated. And I know a lot of you are too. That's why you're watching this, right? God, I love the draft. I love it. I'm excited. I'm excited. Say the name. Yeah, Mimboo. I love it. Right here, JD. Anyone heard from Todd Byrne lately? No, he's going through. He's going through it. Didn't even make it to the NFC Championship this year. It was him versus everybody, but I guess it was him versus the divisional round. Love you. Love you, Don Burr. You're a good fan. Stay true. Right here, Chris, Mason Graham or Will Campbell will be there at 11. One will be there for sure. Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, they were both gone by 5. I would love one of them to be there. I don't think they will. Invader. Zero chance they draft offensive line at 11. That's crazy talk to me. Zero chance? Now, I do think defensive line is more likely. I do think defensive line is more likely to go. I do. I would say, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so you can hold me to it. I'm going to say 55% chance they draft defensive line. Now, that's two positions. I'm cheating a little bit here. I'm going to say 40% they draft offensive line and 5% they draft something else. And that's probably all tight end. It's probably all tight end, but they shouldn't do that. I want Walter Nolan at 11. Let's get back to Daniel Jeremiah's just nuggets of where these guys go. 49ers took Armand Mimboo at 11. Kelvin Banks, my number one tackle, went 13 for him. Jahdae Barron, who a lot of people are like second round, whatever else, he was the first corner off Daniel Jeremiah's board at 14. Walter Nolan, who Keeping the Faith says once at 11, he went 17. I know that's a big Larry Kruger guy. He keeps swearing, but he loves Ole Miss guys, and he loves A&M guys. I hate Ole Miss, and I hate A&M, but I love Larry. That dude's the man. Shamar Stewart, he went 23. And, you know, I remember earlier in a draft, we took the cornerback out of Florida State. Uzarie, right? I think I'm saying that right. Thomas. Uzarie Thomas. I have my, you know, we've worked on our descriptive guide and our pronunciations. I've been practicing these. Uzarie Thomas. I think we got him like in the fourth round in one of our drafts. He had him going to the first round, number 27 overall. So, and no Nick Scorton in the first round, who I know Josh, who helps us out with the draft stuff. That's his guy. Invader says Walter Nolan will be the pick at 11. I think that that makes a lot of sense. I really, really do. And I know we've covered Walter Nolan, but the longer that this process continues, we'll have to see with the combine and all that stuff. Every day I wake up, it's like, man, Walter Nolan makes a lot of sense. Walter Nolan makes a lot more sense. Walter Nolan every single day. It's just, it's snowballing and just gaining ground. Defensive tackle Ole Miss, 6'3", 304. That is the exact height, weight that the slasher role. That's Javon Hargrave. That's what it is. 21 years old, versatility, strength, and anchor. Just messes everything up on the inside. A-plus disruptor. 1,200-plus snaps. He plays all over the place. 7 versatility score. He's got to be a 3 technique for us. 6 sacks this year, 7 sacks last year. Back-to-back years of production. Now, the question whenever you grade Ole Miss, every player on that defensive line, including backups, are all going to be drafted. He is playing on an all-star defensive line front. But he's doing it against SEC competition back-to-back years. He committed to A&M, played for 2 seasons, transferred to Ole Miss. But again, he did it with A&M. Then he went to Ole Miss and he did it there too. But again, you could argue A&M and Ole Miss, 2 of the best defensive lines in college football. He's played next to stars. I think that's kind of there. But overall run defense grade, 92. Run stop rate, 11.9%. That's 1 out of every 8 plays. This dude's getting a solo run stop. Pass rush grade, 75. Just so freaking good. Mock draft consensus rank has him at 23. I think that's too low. Now, ideally, I'd prefer a trade back for Walter Nolan. I think 11's a little rich for him, but I would not be mad. I would not be mad. Right here, Walter Nolan is going to be up the draft boards after the combine. I think so. Right here, Logan Chapman, we have a Georgia prospect already on our team. Hint, hint. Dude, I love Robert Beal Jr. I think he continues just to improve in the run game. That dude can't rush the passer to save his life, which is crazy because he runs a 4-4, but he has no pass rush plan still. He sets the edge against the run, and that's kind of how they used him, and I think that's how they should use him. I wish 4-4 speed, and you can't rush the passer. That's weird as hell to me. Dude just can't. I like him. Kennard. We took him yesterday in our mock draft in the second round with Larry Kruger. That was a fun one. Right here. Wasn't Nolan the number one high school recruit? Yes, he was. He was a 5-star recruit by all 3 major outlets. He was number 1 by ESPN. Number 2 by Rivals, and number 2 by 24/7. The only player that was ahead of him, Travis Hunter. So, he's talent, elite. I would not be upset if he was the number 1. Yeah, right there, Invader. He was a 5-star for sure. Rusty, for some reason, I always like a guy drafted after the 1st or 2nd. Others at his position, they seem to play with a chip on his shoulder. Pissed at the draft. Ooh, I like that. I do like that. Niner Goat. You've been out of Mikkel since the start. Mikkel is a slow motor and stiff, bust written all over him. I disagree. Disagree, but that's okay. Mimbu, not Imbu. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Banks is not a guard, not in our scheme. If Colton McKivitz isn't a guard in our scheme, no way in hell Aaron Banks is a guard in our scheme. For some teams, they will have Kevin Banks as a guard. Yes. No, not. If Colton McKivitz has the shortest arms, he had bad footwork, he's not flexible. Like, if Colton McKivitz can play tackle, Kelvin Banks can play tackle in the same scheme. 1,000%. 1,000%. Josh, my man, he says, go get Nick Skorton. Now, this is what's crazy. Daniel Jeremiah did not have him going even in the 1st round, which is crazy. You need to reach out to your boy because that's crazy talk to me. Now, Nick Skorton, again, we just put up an all-22 breakdown on him. Edge rusher, love him. I really do. Out of A&M, and I like him. 6'4", 280, Skorton is how you pronounce it, Skorton. This is Josh's draft crush. Now, let's add some perspective. Josh, his last 2 draft crushes before we drafted him, Samuel Womack and Robert Beal. Josh knows. He knows the 49ers. This dude works. He works. Awesome member of the 49ers rush team. Nick Squarton, A&M, defensive end, pass rusher, 20 years old, power versatility, A-plus run defender, A-plus edge setter. Man, was much better in 2023. He had 8 sacks that year, only 4 this year. Why did it back down? That's a question mark that, you know, if you're a pass rusher, but 6'4", 280, yeah, that's nice. That is nice. And he moves quick. He doesn't look slow. He looks powerful. Lower body power shows. Short steps, I don't like that. His arm length, I'm curious about that. Not a Trent Baalke guy. But his worst games, I think, were against Missouri, the Mimbu, who I just did that video breakdown, and Kelvin Banks. They handled him. They really, really did. So that's a question mark. But lethal spin motor, they're there. Yeah, I love his spin move, man. He gets that high elbow like Dwight Freeney. He's not Dwight Freeney. He's bigger than that. But, man, there's a lot of things that you just see. You see him chasing down screens. You see his awareness. You see him in the run game, wrong shouldering, the puller against the down block. Ah, that is just like this guy gets tape. He spends time in the room, awareness, film room. Awareness is off the charts. Love that he never quits. Doing everything possible to get to the QB. It's like he has to just get there. He's awesome. Experience 7, versatility 6. Poor man's Cameron Jordan. Cameron Jordan's one of my favorite players of all time in the NFL. So that is a huge compliment. So that is there. Right here, Logan. Kelvin Banks would be awesome at 11, but we have bigger draft needs on the defensive line. That's fair. Left tackle is a bigger need. Yeah, we are arguing O-line, D-line. I think both get addressed. I really, really do. Yatsik, he says, man, it's kind of sad, but we have to be excited about our draft 3 months away on Championship Sunday. That's where we are, man. This is the sad reality for a lot of teams. And, like, you know, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. There are 5, 8, 9 teams that have not even made a conference championship game in a decade, in 10 seasons. The Texans, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Browns, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Bears, the Raiders, the Jets haven't even made it to a conference championship once in 10 years. 49ers have made, I think, 3 in 10 years? No, I think we're at 4 if we go back to the last year that we made it with. I want to check this out. I don't want to misspeak on this. Obviously, 3 out of 4 with Shanahan. But, man, those Harbaugh years, they are fading. They are a little bit. So we went 2013. So, yeah, that doesn't count. So we've been 4 times. Yeah, we've been 4 out of 5 times. So 2023. 2022, 2021, 2019. We've been to 4 NFC championship games with Shanahan this decade. He's only been here for 8 years. Every other year he makes it there. That's pretty badass. Yeah, obviously you want the Super Bowls. I understand that. But guess what? You can't get a Super Bowl if you don't make it to the championship game. That's just the way it goes. Cowachipto, this is something I can get behind. A&M guys are overrated. They all suck. Hook 'em, baby. I do my best to not scout the uniform, but sometimes that's rough. Sometimes that is rough. Right here, Invader. Daniel Jones didn't pay attention to Chris Forster's philosophy regarding offensive line in round 1. His philosophy, I hate this, by the way. I completely disagree with Chris Forster and Kyle Shanahan on this. I love Chris Forster. I love Kyle Shanahan. Don't agree with them on everything. Forster said if you can't get a difference maker at the offensive line, then you just wait and get a guy that's at the average line of play that you need. I think that's how you get Jake Brendel. I think that's how you got Aaron Banks. I think that's how you got Colton McKivitz. I don't want guys at that line anymore. And I would argue Banks and Brendel way below the line. I do believe Colton McKivitz is at that line. Right tackle is a very bad, talented spot. But I do think Kelvin Banks could be a difference maker. I think Mimbu can be a difference maker. I do. I think Will Campbell can be a difference maker. I think Josh Simmons. There's 4 offensive tackles. I would not be upset if we took it in the first round. I would not. Kelvin Banks is my 1. I think he has the highest ceiling. And I do see him as a left tackle. I do see him as a like he can play tackle. For me, 1,000%. Wyatt Millam, he's next on the offensive line list. I don't have him in that tier, but damn, he is good. He's fun. He's tough. He's mean. He's probably just a right tackle as well. But, you know, the 49ers are weird with where they put their offensive line. They're weird. Yeah. Right here, passing on worse tells you all you need to know regarding Mimbu. Yeah, but we had that huge need at defensive tackle because you traded Buckner. That was the one time we went into a draft where we had that need. That's why since then, and again, when people say, well, Shanahan's stubborn, he never learns anything, I'm like, man, dude, you don't pay attention to the draft. He's changed his philosophy on things so many times. A lot of them. One of those is the one you bring up. You took Javon Kinlaw, who was a dire need, over Tristan Wirfs, who was the way better player. Since then, they have plugged every single hole in free agency so that whenever they go into the draft, they don't have to do that again. Drafted Reuben Foster in the first round. Since then, they don't draft bad character guys. Drafted Trey Lance, traded up all that stuff for an inexperienced player. And people come at me and they say, man, we should draft so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And then I pull up, like, where they are, and I'm like, dude, this guy hasn't played. He hasn't played at all. Like, I saw somebody in the chat saying, man, draft Will Johnson no matter what. You can't pass on him, the cornerback from Michigan. I think he's awesome. Well, this guy's played 1,300-plus snaps as a corner. That is one of the lowest of all the draftable corners. He's got an experience out of 1 to 10, a 2 in this cornerback class. Does that mean he's not on their board? I don't think so. I think he is, but do I think that they're going to take a corner at number 11 when they've never drafted a corner before, the third round until last year? And then at the end of the second round, they took Renardo Green, but then you pay Demo. Do you spend a first round top 11 pick on a corner? Maybe you do. Robert Saleh, he loved his corners. He drafted, what's his name? Sauce Gardner. That panned out for him whenever he was with the Jets. But Will Johnson ain't Sauce Gardner. And that dude has not played much football. He's a 2 on the experience. So I think that they do learn some of those things. And no, I do not consider Mimbu to be anywhere close to Tristan Wirfs at all. I do not. I was very high on Tristan Wirfs. And I probably wouldn't put Banks up there either with my pre-draft grade. Now we know what Wirfs is now. But I do think that they learn their lessons. And yeah, I don't. If we traded back for Mimbu, I'd be happy. I would be happy. If it's offensive, defensive line, I'm happy with the first pick. I'm going to be honest with you. Does that mean I think it's a home run, whatever else? But if Kelvin Banks is on the board, I'm going to keep saying this. That's my pick. That's my pick. Yeah, and I know you didn't say I did. You're the man, Invader. I'm not arguing with you. I'm using your points because your points are always awesome. Right here, law of all. Hey, John, positivity is where it's at, bro. Yes. Yes, Kib, long flight back to Europe, but zero regrets about coming to your Las Vegas party. Man, I had such a great time with you and the guys all the way from Denmark to Vegas to watch the game with us, and it meant the world to me. You guys were freaking the best, the best, the best. Yeah, that was fun. Right here, we all needed the same break the players needed. That's facts. That is facts. Plugged in. I like this question. And, you know, I don't know what's next there. But he says, who is in contention for the special teams coordinator job? There's been 4 interviews. Jet Motkins, Chris Banjo, Chris Tabor, Brant Boyer. I think the favorite is Brant Boyer. I think number 2 is probably Chris Banjo, who's now interviewing for the Cowboys. And so there's a little bit of competition there for a special teams coordinator. I really hope we get Brant Boyer. I'd be happy with any of these, to be honest with you. I haven't done a deep dive into, you know, whatever their efficiency and EPA. I want experience. I want a coordinator who has called coordinator plays before. That is important to me. I want Brant Boyer. I'd be fine with Chris Banjo as well. Those are my 2. Yeah, Boyer right there. Hargrave ain't coming back. No way in the world. That dude made out like a bandit. Hargrave's gone. Thank you. Man, appreciate you. Bobo, the best 49ers Rush shows are the ones where JC shows emotions. All right. You want to get me mad? You don't like me when I'm angry. yeah. JC, will Saleh be better at in-game defensive adjustments? This used to drive us crazy. The same check down biting us 15 times in a row. So here is the evolution of Robert Saleh just in his time with us. I remember 2017. Wait, I'm 17, 18, 19, right? Then he left. At 17, he made no adjustments at all, almost all game. 2018, he started making adjustments at the half. And then 2019, he was making adjustments on the fly. And so I think my memory and a lot of different people's, I was more frustrated than anybody on this. Coaching adjustments, I think, are one of the truest indicators if you're a quality coach or not. I consider Robert Saleh a great quality coach. And I would have no problem with Robert Saleh as my defensive coordinator, to be honest with you, but not with the Jets and Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. Like, that was just terrible. But he was making adjustments in the past. Now, is he one of the great adjusters? But again, going from Nick Sorensen, didn't make a lot of adjustments either, man. But Nick Sorensen never, there was nothing that worked. Like, Nick Sorensen was just off. You knew third, fourth quarter, defense was going to fall apart every single game. We broke the record. I don't know how to look this up. I've tried. Has there ever been a team go from first and fourth quarter points allowed to dead last, 32nd in one season? Because we were first with Steve Wilks, led the NFL, to dead last with Nick Sorensen. So it's going to be better. It's going to be a lot better than this season. It's going to be better. I would take 2017 Robert Saleh over any time Nick Sorensen. I would take 2018. I would take 2019. I would take the Jets 2020, the Jets 2021, Jets 2022, Jets 2023. I'd take anything. Will Saleh or Robert Saleh, I'll take it anywhere. It's not even close. Yeah. Oh, man. So bad. Anyway, that's what it is. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. We're good. So anyway, this has been fun. You guys are the best. I got to wrap this show up. I got to do some family stuff. But man, what a fun show. And hopefully we dove into. Now, I'm going to challenge you guys. I need you to do me a favor. I need you all to head over to the 49ersrush.com and sign up. I need you to support the show, but it's a free trial. So go sign up. Do the 7-day free trial. Put an alert in your phone that says you want to cancel in 6 days. Won't cost you a penny. Won't cost you anything. Join us in our Zoom hangout meeting this Tuesday, the 28th at 5:30 p.m. I want you to come join us. You don't have to talk. You don't have to turn your camera on. You can turn them off. You can mute yourself and just listen to us. But it's going to be a fun conversation. We're going to talk Robert Saleh. We're going to talk special teams. We're going to talk draft. We'll talk free agents. We got way too much to talk about this Tuesday. And until Tuesday, whenever you sign up over there, go watch some draft breakdown tape. It's up on there under player breakdown. So head to our Patreon channel or the 49ersrush.com. Sign up. That's your homework. And again, you can set your alarm and you can cancel and all that stuff. That's cool. That's cool. Not upset, but go check it out. And if you like what we're doing, stick around for a little while because our draft content, I think it's what we do best. I think it's what we do best. And we're going to be giving out our draft stuff, draft book and all that stuff the next coming weeks and months as we work through that. Don't appreciate the super chat. He says, when is Robert's presser? Yeah, I don't know. I think once they get the entire coaching staff solidified, then I think they can. But I don't think they're there yet because they still don't have the special teams coordinator. So I think they're still waiting. Oh, Yatsik said he's going to be there Tuesday. Matthew says he's going to be there Tuesday. That's what I need. That's what I want to see. I'm excited about it. Y'all are the best. This has been fun. Enjoy some football. Yeah, be rooting for the Bills and Commanders. It's what's going to happen. Until next time, y'all are the best. Stay strong, faithful.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.